Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to this meeting of the Cabinet Subcommittee. First of all, before apologies for absence, introduce Daniel, who is sitting in with us today. Daniel is with the elections. And he wants to come to see how a real committee works. So this is it. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you.
Right, apologies for absence. As we always say, if there were apologies for absence, this committee wouldn't be meeting, because we all have to be here. Item two, the minutes of our meeting of the 20th of November. Do we read them and do we approve them as a true record? Thank you very much. Notification of other business. There is no notification of any other business. Item four, Chairman's announcements. Just the normal reminder regarding declarations. And in accordance with Council policy, this meeting is being audio recorded. There's no members of the public here, so I'm not going to warn them about recording and advising me. Can I draw your attention to the item on the agenda front pages regarding declarations of interest and remind members that in line with the code of conduct, any declarations of interest need to be declared immediately prior to the item in question. Members declaring a declarable interest wishing to exercise a councillor speaking right must declare this at the same time as the interest. I assume there are none. Item five, public participation. Members of the public present, so we whizz right through to the final item on the agenda, which is the annual accounts and returns for council administered charities. Can I hand over to Ian Cooper to present, please?
Thank you, Chair. This is the report you receive every year, seeking your approval for the charity returns for the four charities that you are the subcommittee for. As is standard, you have got as appended accounts for each of the four charities, and also the draft annual return for three of them. The one that is not there is the Yeomanry and Artillery Collection, on the basis that there is nothing significant to report at all. The collection maintains as it is, and there's been no events to report, and therefore is doesn't require the same level of return as the other three do. In terms of kind of updates to those charity returns, just to confirm, in respect of King George V, as reported by the Rugby Club, there are 195 volunteers who work on that, and they have provided 800 hours per week of volunteer time in total across all of them. So that's the only update.
How many volunteers are there?
195 is the Rugby Club, providing on average 800 hours per week. Which is quite substantial. I thought it was quite a large number as well, but that's what reported by Stephen via the Rugby Club. So
I wonder how they find space for them all.
I presume each one's doing two roses at the same time, yeah. Apart from that,
that'll include things like mini rugby and all the
coaching.
Apart from that, just to highlight that for King George V, so King George Field in Hitchin, the total contributions in terms of to expenditure by the council and the income they receive exceeds 25,000, and so the committee is requested to confirm that there should be an audit undertaken of that charity, and that is undertaken by the Shared Internal Audit Service. The day that will require, not significant given it's quite a small charity still, has been allocated in the audit plan for them, so with your confirmation that will go ahead in January, and that will be done in time so that all the returns can be submitted by the end of January, which is the statutory deadline for all those returns to be submitted. Apart from that, happy to take any questions Rita may have.
Can I just ask a question before I ask my colleagues to ask questions? On the King George V Charitable Trust, there's a very interesting comment there about the impairment of £117,000. With my work with the credit union, I'm always struck with the terror at that word impairment, and it seems to cover a whole multitude of sins these days. But I was interested in the comment that playing fields were revalued by the council surveyors, and the land was considered struck with sterility owing to restrictive covenants. A wonderful wording that is fantastic. Can you just explain how and why the land's been revalued? What's different about it now that wasn't there before?
I don't know anything different about it wasn't there before. It obviously is a surveyor's term, which means a lot of surveyors, and in the real world does seem quite stark as a comment. Nothing's changed, it's just, I think, in the past, probably overvaluing it,
right.
In terms of, you know, that there are various restrictions on what can happen to that land, and therefore the valuation should reflect that. It now does, and therefore it's worth less. It's not worth less than it was previously, but the valuation we've included is less than it was previously.
Before, yes.
It should have been lower before.
Yeah.
In essence, it's a meaningless figure in terms of there are no plans to do anything with the asset. It's just an accounting requirement. We value the asset each year.
A fantastic building land, actually, but it can't be valued in that way, obviously. I'll try to get the housing figures up, you see, so looking at everything. So there's nothing has happened since last year
there have been no significant changes in terms of the actual building itself. It's just a valuation adjustment.
Yeah, oh, fine. Okay, thank you. My colleagues, questions? Julian?
One very, very minor point. The depreciation figure on the Hitchin Town Hall, which I assumed was going to be 2% a year for 50 years, but when I actually worked it out, it comes out at 2.0408. Now, is that something to do with the revaluation?
Yes, you apply the revaluation first, and then you depreciate it. I would imagine.
Okay. I don't try to prove it, but I'd read it.
Impressive, Julian.
So in fact, we're depreciating the improvement over a lesser period than the same balance period.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Other than that, nothing.
No more questions, Michael. No. Have you any questions?
Not on King George V.
On. No. And any of.
Well, can you just remind me where Smithson's is?
It's off the. Road to Luton, up Tyler Street. As you go round the roundabout towards Luton, it's on the right hand side, sort of opposite. There's a church, opposite the church, more or less.
It's a plain field, basically.
Yeah.
Just a plain field. And the history behind that is the same as the rest of the stuff, is it? It was.
There is a history more recent than that, actually.
It is, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, being part of an interesting recent history with Smith. And that was another. I mean, it's all nice and calm now. All these lovely, you know, even the town hall, for goodness sake, is calm. But Smithson's had its moments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember site meetings there, the local population up in arms, some of them, about what was being done there. We had all sorts of things.
Public consultation as to whether we could make it. Multisexual, didn't we?
I don't remember that.
No, well, you see, you're lucky to join this committee after everything had calmed down. But apart from the yeomanry, I think they've all had their moments. And Smithson's did, but it's all calm.
I did enjoy the visit we had to the yeomanry collection a couple of years back.
Yes,
it was
just
Austin, actually.
It's probably the most interesting of the things that we look after. But. Swissons, have a look. It's quite a nice pleasant.
I don't think there's anything which identifies it as a Smithson's playing field. It's just a playing field.
Mm. the site. There was an issue there was the old, I suppose, covenant or whatever, when it was bequeathed, was that it was only for women and children under an age of, what was it, four?
13, I think.
Oh, yeah. That was it, whatever. But of course, nobody takes any notice of that. You know, the kids play football and all sorts of things there. So that was removed, wasn't it, which caused a little unrest. Yes, it's pretty quite an interesting one as well.
Formal consultation, I think. Nine responses, was it?
There weren't many, yeah. Yeah. Sounds about right.
The majority of which more or less said, "You're joking, aren't you?"
And there was not sufficient objection for us to to resist the change.
But, they've all been interesting in their own way. Right, any more questions? I think everything is well presented and it's straightforward. Yeah, and I think it's a formal thing that has to be done, satisfy the Charity Commission. And
it's a very onerous task for us as well as committee members, isn't it?
Very onerous. If only every committee was the same. Right, okay. Recommendations then. 2.1, that the Charities Subcommittee approves the information required by the Charities Commission for the four registered charities so that the returns can be submitted prior to the January 2019 deadline. And 2.2, that the Charities Subcommittee notes the requirement for those charities with gross income of more than 25k in their financial year to have their accounts independently examined, which applies to the King George's Field, and it's to be undertaken by SIAS. I can't remember, was it done by them last year? Because we used to have everything audited by the council's auditors, which cost an arm and a leg. Then somebody in Stevenage Borough Council, didn't they? They went to somebody in Stevenage Borough Council who did it. Now it goes to SIAS.
The council level has an audit programme. Yes. We include it in that audit programme. And yes, it does cost money overall for the council, but it is a small part of 300 days.
Yes, absolutely. It's a lot lower than we used to pay, but isn't it? Yes.
That cost is wound up in the figures for the maintenance and everything else anyway.
Yeah. Yes. So, do you agree with the recommendations?
Agreed.
That there being no other items on the agenda, that brings this meeting to an end. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. That's not 13:13.